It's the Gadget Grill on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet. We are at www.radio2rdj.com. Hi there. I am, if I'm not mistaken, the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jason Murray without the fancy nickname.
Neither, and I am Jeff Quattromani.
Welcome, guys. How are we all? How have you been this week?
Very, very tired.
It's been a big week.
Yeah.
It's been a big week.
I thought it was just the normal 7 days.
I had more of them. I think I had twice as many days.
Have you got a TARDIS?
I went.
He doesn't know.
I do have a TARDIS.
Yeah. I don't.
No.
Sorry, that's a tortoise. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, big week, big weekend. Had a Bucks night last night, so...
Yours?
Doing well. No, not mine, but I can't have mine again.
Well, actually, you can.
Well, probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I got the chance to chew through a pig, actually. So it worked on a 55-kilo one. It was nice and chunky.
55 kilos?
Did you chew through a 55-kilo pig?
Oh, I participated in the chewing.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Was it good for you?
It was good. Someone took the tail before I could, though.
Okay.
I was a bit upset by that.
I'll ask you something off-air about it later.
All right.
How was it barbecued? Was it smoked?
On a spit.
On a spit, yeah. Okay, but not smoked.
On a very, very big spit.
Okay. I know that Dee Dee's at home this evening, and she is putting some pork in the slow cooker to make us some tortilla soup.
Nice.
Mm.
Love tortilla soup. Mm. Jason, what have you been up to?
I'm really tired because we are going to talk about this later on, but Google's annual I.O. developer conference was on this week, and that means that Thursday morning I got up at 3 a.m. to watch a live stream.
You haven't recovered?
I've started to recover.
Wow.
Yeah, but I also have some fairly long days at work at the moment, so when I get home on the weekend, I was like, I'm going to relax.
Do we have violin music for Jason?
I hope so.
I could find some.
Yeah, I would love that, some.
Good. I'm sure I could find some.
he's not impressed by it. So, oh, really? Yeah. Is that how we're going with it?
Yeah, okay, no. That's
fighting words.
It's fine. Game on. How much Apple news have you got tonight?
I don't think I have any.
Oh.
I'll work on it, though. Yeah. Was there?
Not really.
Nah. I don't think Apple did anything except they went to China and India.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's off to India.
Yeah. Oh. Tim Cook's on his worldwide tour.
He's brewing something up.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Actually, you're right. There was actually a little bit of news on that. So Tim Cook said that he thinks that India is the next market for the iPhone.
Well, if they can make it cheaper enough.
Well, the iPhone SE is pretty cheap, but, could go further.
There we go.
I'm not sure this counts as violin music.
It does. Wait for it.
It does feel like I've entered an episode of Benny Hill.
I know. I feel like I should be moving faster.
That's a reference that Jeff got.
I did. I got that.
There we go.
Not bad.
All right. It actually, if I'm not mistaken, this is actually a milk ad, isn't it?
No, it's actually
a milk ad.
Yeah, this was maybe it's in Victoria. This was used for a milk ad.
It's actually classic jazz. It's the ladies.
They would never have used it for a milk ad.
Which I think is Lerner and Lowe. I can't remember for certain.
Mm. Very good, very good. It was a long walk, but we got there.
It was indeed. Yeah. Well, it always is. You know how it is with me.
So how are you, Gary?
I survived the week, which is really quite amazing considering my current health condition.
Oh, okay, yes.
But we won't go into that because that'll just bore everybody to tears.
Oh,
and instead we'll play a little bit of music because...
Just unpause whatever you were just playing.
That's...
No, not that one again.
No. I've got
something good.
Well, that's good too. Stefan Grappelli is absolutely brilliant, especially when you get.
Why'd you go there, Jeff?
I just had to say.
Especially when you get Stefan Grappelli and Django Reinhardt together, the Hot Club of Paris.
Oh, the Miners.
No,
Reinhardt's.
Yes. Yes. Well, I could swap something that I've got in here later for that. The trouble with the Django Reinhardt stuff is...
Jason's left.
And he's right as well. The trouble with the Django Reinhardt stuff is that it's all too short to play at that time of the evening because, I always do something that's about 6 or 7 minutes long at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The Django Reinhardt stuff, when they were recording, they couldn't record for that length of time.
Didn't have enough tape.
The technology didn't allow them to do it. The cylinders
were too short.
That's it. Basically, yes.
In ye old days.
Yes. Yeah, so speaking of the old days, we're going to go back to the 60s. This is a guy by the name of Russell Morris, whom I know you both know and love.
He's my favourite.
and this is The Girl That I Love.
The girl that I love will be never as lonely as me. And the girl that I love will give all of her loving to me. And the morning she brings with the sun in her eyes will never make me blue. And the girl that I love, the girl that I love will be you. And the girl that I hold won't be needing a reason to start, 'cause the girl that I hold will give all of the love in her heart. And the morning she brings with the sun in her eyes will see my darkness through. And the girl that I love, the girl that I love will be you. And it will never be the same again. No pain, no empty words to disbelieve, 'cause there could only be just you to see me through. The girl that I love will make it true. And the girl that I love will be never as lonely as me.
Hey, welcome back to The Gadget Girl on 2RDJ, 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Hey.
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 Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, Gary. Hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Oh, gosh. You guys are tempting me way too much. You know that?
Let's get into some news, shall we? Okay.
The technology news of the world. Jason.
All right, I'll go straight out of the gate.
Boom.
YouTube Red launched here in Australia this week. It's Google's subscription service that lets you access content that's been exclusively produced for YouTube. There's a few movies at the moment that fall into that category. And it lets you watch YouTube without ads if you're a subscriber. It's great news also if you are currently using Google Play Music All Access. You now get YouTube Red as well, and I don't know what's going on. And they've reduced the price for everyone's existing subscriptions.
So, essentially, taking out some of the bits you've mentioned, but essentially, if you watch a lot of YouTube and you're tired of getting all the ads, mm-hmm. sign up to this YouTube Red,
yep.
and all those ads disappear. You'll have unlimited access to YouTube in a way.
Yes.
Unlimited, I mean, it's always been there, but you don't have to worry about waiting for an ad to finish.
You don't have to watch the ads. And there's some exclusive content that you can now watch as well.
Anything we would have heard of? Probably like, are not. They taking any existing movies, or are they making their own content?
So they're making their own content. There's a gaming... there's a gamer called PewDiePie.
Heard of that.
And so he created a movie called Scare PewDiePie when the service launched last year in the States. So there's that. Rooster Teeth have produced a thing called Laser Team as well. They recently had an expo in Australia that they were showcasing it at as well.
Okay. But
yeah. So yeah, YouTube Red is here.
Good.
With YouTube Red should come YouTube Music. I really don't know what's going on.
That's a track by Eric Clapton called Hey Hey.
Oh, I got there.
Gosh, I kind of brought this on myself, I think, really.
You did.
Yeah. YouTube Music is also launched as well, which
basically lets you... Similar to Spotify?
Not quite. Like, it gets you access to a lot of music content on YouTube, mm-hmm. and it also means that you can choose your music video or your music, mm-hmm. and you can continue that playing when your screen is turned off, which doesn't normally happen on YouTube.
Ah.
So you can treat the video playlist like a music playlist.
Okay.
Which is often what happens at parties anyway.
Yeah, yeah. True. Mm-hmm.
Very true.
True.
Ah, now, straight out of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Mm. Nice. I know where this is going.
Yes. A company called Otto have developed
It's an in-ear translator.
In-ear language translators.
I've heard about
this. So you put this little earplug in your ear, and in real time it translates whatever somebody is saying in their language into your language. Anybody for Babelfish? I'm surprised they haven't called it Babelfish.
I think it's still owned by Alta Vista, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what the delay is between someone like saying
again?
It.
Again?
Very good.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone will say something in Spanish. How long till I hear it? It's not nowhere near that quick. It can't be.
I'm sorry.
Just can't be. So I'd love to check it out. And so would Gary. And Jason.
Motorola announced a refreshed Moto G lineup at an event in India this week. They are releasing the Moto G4 and the Moto G4 Plus, which doesn't actually have that much different in it. It's got a slightly more megapixel camera and an extra gig of RAM in it, I think.
So that number just represents how many they'll sell.
No, not at all. The Moto G's been very popular.
What is that?
It's a budget handset. Like the G4 Plus is going to, it's about $275 Australian dollars. And you know, when you add import tax and stuff, the Moto G3 when it launched here was about $380. Got criticised for being way too expensive.
Yeah,
the Motorolas I think are reasonably good value phones.
They are,
yeah, for what you get. The G3, the one that I have, it's fully waterproof. It's dual SIM plus it's got room for a micro SD card.
Yeah,
and for that sort of money, that's not bad.
I guess.
No, not bad at all.
I don't know. Who's buying them?
There's lots of people buying Moto Gs.
Why? Yeah.
Why?
They're a good budget phone.
Yeah. You want a budget Android phone?
We've spoken about some amazing budget phones, which don't carry the same brand, but value for money. Like, you think of your Oppos.
Yeah.
So, I mean, complete deviation here.
No, they're playing the same market, but Oppo is pitched a little bit higher than Moto.
Yeah.
So Oppo's selling $500 or $600 phones now.
Some.
And, but by the same token, if you're looking for something in telecommunications, Motorola is a name that is known all over the world.
Yeah, yeah, of course it is.
They have a reputation that goes back a very long way. My first mobile phone back in 1987, Motorola. Yeah.
Well, so we were saying earlier that Tim Cook's going to India because he sees that as the next market for the iPhone. Moto just launched this in India.
How'd it go?
Well, every Moto G has sold great guns in India. That's why they're launching it there, because it's actually it's become their home market for the Moto G. India and Brazil, in fact.
Interesting. Hey, Gary, at Bondi, you know the area.
We had a visitor out there, but I can't talk about that. I know Bondi I know a little bit about Bondi. Yeah, I know the area somewhat.
Right. Did you know that they were testing some new shark technology out there?
I had heard about that a couple of weeks ago, in fact.
Yeah. Sounds like Deep Blue Sea over again.
No.
Is it shark repellent technology?
I can't say what I'm thinking.
So they've had these, they're called Clever Boys, floating out in Bondi.
I have not been into the water there for ages, so it's not me.
Clever Boy. trying to monitor sharks. Right,
Clever Dog.
Trying to monitor sharks, and they're using sonar technology, which sends reports back to the shore where the lifeguards are, and they can shut the beach down. And apparently, it was a big success.
They're also using drones to monitor for sharks as well. Drones with cameras pointing downwards, so they can see in the water, and it's a lot cheaper than using manned aircraft.
It would be cheaper than using manned aircraft, but I wonder if it's. I don't think it would be cheaper than just putting these boys out in the water. Do you know what I mean? I wonder that.
What is the cost? Of course, one thing that bothers me is that when something happens on the beach and somebody gets
eaten,
mauled by a shark, I'm going to use the term mauled, it's described as a shark attack. And yet...
Are you saying it's just a shark doing its thing?
It's just a shark in its native territory. The shark lives in the water. We do not.
But it did attack somebody.
No, it didn't.
Well, what did it do then? Cuddle them.
It's
the word is attack because it is.
No, it's tasting it. Do you taste good? No.
When I have dinner, I attack it.
That means most people do taste good then.
Not to sharks, apparently. And especially not with the neoprene wetsuit. Neoprene. Have you ever tasted neoprene?
No.
Neither have I.
Well, actually, just a week ago last Sunday, but sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you had for dinner the other day? I was wondering what that was.
I don't know. Okay. Netflix have launched a new service called Fast, F fast.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw you tweet about this during the week, actually.
And I like the idea of this. It's basically a tool that will help you check how good your bandwidth is. And as a result of knowing what your bandwidth is like...
Oh, yes, I heard about this, and it's giving worse results than just an ordinary speed test.
Oh, is it really?
That's what I've heard, yes.
That could be true. So I tested it at home. I got 81 megabits per second. I was like, yeah, it's not too bad. However, what does that mean? As an average Joe who wants to sign up for Netflix and wants to get a scale of what they need, what does that tell me? If it's 1 megabit or it's 100, that doesn't give me an indication of whether I should get HD, 4K, or anything like that.
Do you want them to just deliver the speed result in terms of the number of simultaneous 4K streams you can run?
Or say you have this, which also means... this many streams, and that would make more sense to me.
But it's irrelevant, because what else are you using your bandwidth for?
What do you mean?
You're using it for banking, for surfing the internet.
Sure.
That impinges upon...
I don't think banking takes that much bandwidth.
No. But you've got three people in your house who are doing different things on the internet. Someone's watching YouTube.
Mm.
Someone's on Netflix watching a movie. All of this impinges upon the available bandwidth. And so a theoretical bandwidth test is exactly that. It's nothing more than theoretical.
But it gives you no information. It's what your bandwidth is capable of delivering.
Which you can do through your ISP anyway.
Sure.
No, I can't ring Telstra and say, how many Netflix streams can I run?
Apparently you can't ask fast.com either.
Yeah, so I'm like, Netflix could have easily put an algorithm in to say, if 10, show that you could do this. If 20, show you could
do
that.
Well, it also depends upon the routing that you take as well for that.
Mm.
Making it too complicated.
Yeah. Uber are now legal in Victoria.
Good.
Sort of.
Good.
The sort of is kind of a big sort of.
What's the sort of?
Nathan Brenner was caught in August 2014 driving his Chrysler 300 and picked up a taxi compliance officer. He was charged and found guilty in December last year of being an owner of a commercial passenger vehicle and operating that vehicle for hire and reward without a license.
Mm-hmm.
So far, so good.
Right.
He appealed. And his lawyer used Section 159 of an act that dates back to 1927, which outlines that there is a defence if the accused can prove that the passengers in the vehicle were not carried for reward at separate or distinct fares. In Brenner's case, there were two passengers in the car, and they were charged a single fare.
I'm still confused.
So basically, he's taking two people in the car.
Yep.
If you've got more than one person, one passenger in your vehicle, you cannot charge them a fare, or it's not illegal to charge them a fare in Victoria.
Victoria has weird taxi laws. Let's just come out and say it.
Yeah, that's too confusing.
Sorry to our Victorian listener.
So if you are doing UberX next week.
Yeah.
So if you're doing UberX in Victoria.
In Melbourne.
Is this now legal or not?
If there's more than one passenger in the car, they can't. There's absolutely nothing wrong.
Right.
The other thing that happened with this particular case is they tried to charge the driver for charging a fare. Who charges the fare for UberX?
Not the driver.
UberX.
Mm.
And UberX pay him.
Okay. Very interesting.
So it's been thrown out of court on two different grounds.
Good. Long live.
Mm-hmm.
Jason,
little bit of rumor this week that not rumor. Is there room for rumor? This is fact. Fitbit has recently acquired a mobile payments company called Coin. The rumor is that they're seeking to use Coin's technology to add NFC to their wearables and allow them to do mobile payments.
Makes complete sense. I mean, you think that the band that Optus released this year, which has payments on it, that same technology could so easily be put into a Fitbit.
Absolutely.
And the idea was, when Optus did it, was you're going to go for your run, you don't need to take anything, you can still buy something just by tapping your wrist. Makes sense. My Fitbit would go with me on a run.
Mm-hmm.
I want to pay for a bottle of water, do that, and that's it. It should be that simple, and I'm all supportive of that.
Good. I'd say so.
Okay. You got anything more, Jeff?
Last one from me was around eBay and VR. Really interesting story this week about a partnership they've done with Maya, which basically allows you to put a VR headset on and browse the Maya store and buy products in a totally VR experience, all hands-free.
So basically what Maya's saying is they don't need the four levels of store that they have in every shopping centre now. They can just sit you down and put you in a Gear VR.
I'd love that.
And you'll get just as good...
But I'd love to walk into a store, take a seat, VR headset on, products come to me.
Why would you want to walk into the store to do that?
I like the interesting point. I like the store experience. I'm a big
You're not
store
getting
guy.
The store experience anymore.
But it could be potentially better. I haven't tried it, but it could be better than
store. And it could even be better if you don't have to deal with driving to the shopping centre, parking your car.
I like that
going
experience
through all
too.
That hassle.
I think you have one more story, don't you, Gary?
I've got one more story that you also had as well. We were discussing this one over dinner. And in Japan, a Japanese engineer has come up with a new app and a kit for us to use on our phones. And it is a very interesting app. And Jason and I
debated whether or not this is actually a useless gadget, because I think it was presented to us as such by our friend developer Jack.
Yeah,
but, I think it's actually not useless.
When I first heard this story, I was in two minds as to whether this was useless. And I can see in some instances where this would absolutely be totally useless.
I think we've sold it.
But at the same time, there are a lot of use cases where this would be absolutely brilliant. Now, it consists of a cup and a microscope and a lens for your cell phone. And what you do is it collects semen from a gentleman.
Okay.
Which he collects in the cup.
Yep.
He then uses the microscope on his cell phone camera to video the semen, which then the video then gets sent to a lab where they examine the motility and the count of the sperm in the semen, and they can deliver a report back on the gentleman's fertility. Now, in a lot of cases, that sounds like it's a problem that doesn't need to be solved, but when you consider that a lot the social implications of when you have to undergo a fertility test, that can be quite confronting, quite imposing.
Especially in Japan. And Japan has a rapidly aging and declining population. So there's an increased amount of male infertility there. And so this is actually doing a good thing, because it's actually allowing people to do this test in the comfort of their own home instead of having to go out to a clinic to do it.
Okay. It's a very interesting thing. From one perspective, I can see it as being this is a first world problem that we're trying to solve, and do we need it? But at the same time, if you are self conscious about these sort of things, you can do the entire thing in private. You can send the video off, get your results back, totally private, totally anonymously. As far as the rest of the world is concerned,
I think we've left Jeff cold.
I get concerned when they try and take something that used to be done in a clinic or in a very high tech environment and have you do it on your phone. I get concerned that people will start to think that they can diagnose all sorts of different issues just with a gadget on their phone or an app. And then something I'm taking this off course with what we're already talking about.
No, you're not.
But they start to think, well, no, I can self-diagnose myself and I'm fine. And then something horrible goes wrong.
Okay. I'm a diabetic, and throughout the day I have to take measurements of my blood glucose level.
Yep.
Jason, I think you do as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's an important part of your your health maintenance regime.
Yep.
And is it any different from that?
I don't know.
How about a blood pressure monitor that you have to take your own blood pressure from time to time?
Look, and it's the same thing. I mean, I hope they go through the same tests that every other medical device has to go through with the TGA and actually get proper certifications, because if you're going to put something on a phone and say it's going to work, it has to work.
Well, I don't know whether they're saying this is a scientific test, because a lot of these things that you get, you get a breathalyzer for your phone. They say that it's, it's for fun only type of thing.
Well, that's the thing, right? And someone goes driving because they're actually half tanked. So,
well, that's their problem.
So I'm just saying, I think that buyer beware sort of thing, that's all.
Absolutely.
I think it's interesting, though, because, the core part of this test is observing observing it under the microscope. And so what they've done is they've gone, well, take a video on your phone and send that to us. And that's no different than what they would have seen if they'd put it under the microscope themselves.
As long as the quality is as good.
Yeah.
That's my only thing is as long as it's going to be exactly what they need to give you a guaranteed result, great. But that's
fair enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got music from two lovely young ladies by the name of Kathy Guthrie and Amy Nelson, daughters of Arlo Guthrie and Willie Nelson. They call themselves Folk Uke, and this is a track called Knock Me Up.
With the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Hey!
Hey!
Hi-o!
Hi-ho!
Tell me, Jason. You've got some...
It's the actual words of the song are I-O, so off to work I go.
I'm not sure that is true, but
we're off to San Fran in this case with Google's biggest event of the year.
It is. It's true. It's Google's biggest event of the year. It's also growing in size this year. We are talking about Google I/O, their developer conference, which this year switched from being in one of the convention centers to actually being an outdoor convention.
It was more like a festival, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There was concerts and everything.
Yeah, it was pretty insane.
Yeah. Bigger than Woodstock.
What I think is interesting about Google I/O is that it's always... So it's a developer conference, but it's always the place where Google carts out the stuff that its developers have been working on rather than going, like, here's all the stuff that we want you to build things with.
It's like, here's what we've been
doing.
Bit
of both.
So what was... Let's go three big things.
Three big things. I got more than three big things.
Let's go with the first one, then.
Let's go one at
a time.
All right. So everyone knows about OK Google. The voice assistant stuff that you can use with Google now.
Yep.
They've now codified that into a bot called the Google Assistant. It's an AI personality that takes advantage of the company's neural networks and very deep knowledge graph that they've actually been building for the better part of a decade. So Google can tell the relations between objects and when a person directs a movie, they understand that contextual relationship.
So in this case, Jeff could say, "Hey Siri, tell me what Google is doing with OK Google."
That might be interesting. Yes.
So this assistant still runs on your phone, though.
It can run in your phone. It'll actually run inside a new messaging app called Allo that Google is releasing later this year.
Another
messaging app. You think it's bad that Google's got another messaging app? They've also released another video calling app called Duo.
Why? What's wrong with Google Talk?
Google Talk doesn't exist anymore.
What am I using within Gmail? Then?
Google Talk
and
Hangouts.
Oh God! Well, they just renamed it. Whatever. But what's wrong with Hangouts?
It's been Hangouts for 3 years.
Really?
Hangouts is actually pretty bad. If you ask a lot of people,
I don't mind it.
Yeah,
I think it's very good because you can actually use it quite easily for video conferencing, ad hoc
really
video conferencing.
But it is really good for ad hoc video conferencing. Yeah. Duo, if you're making a person-to-person video call, it's probably going to be better.
Right.
So Duo has this feature called Knock Knock, which if I'm calling you to say, hey, I've got concert tickets or something like that, I can start the video call and I can hold up the concert tickets, mm-hmm. and you'll see my video feed on your screen before you actually answer. So you can go, oh my God, he's calling me to say he's got these tickets. Hey, dude, how's it going? It's great.
So that's Periscope in disguise.
Not really. You're not broadcasting to the internet. It's only to one person.
Hang on. So you start video calling me and my phone kind of automatically answers it in a way?
No. I don't see you. You only see me until you answer.
So I'm already streaming your mm-hmm. content.
Ah, yeah. Good point.
Right?
Yeah, good
That's
point.
Costing me data or
maybe
whatever.
Maybe it'll only do knock-knock on Wi-Fi. We don't really know.
That's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So let's get back to the Google Assistant.
You know, right? When we talk about apps being intrusive,
I thought that would fire you up.
As soon as
Gary's already carted out the word intrusive about Google AI.
As soon as you start, getting these apps being intrusive, then you know what my reaction's going to be.
And, yeah, uninstall it, Gary.
For a change, Jeff's on my side.
So,
go ahead, Jason.
Let's talk about Google Home.
This is where I thought you were going to go with the assistant. So,
I was. So, Google Home is going to be Google's foray into the living room. They are over a year behind Amazon. They've actually been lapped by Amazon. They're onto their second generation of Echo,
which is different for the way the game is being played, right?
It is. So Amazon actually goes out. Amazon actually is a fairly big company in terms of the tech realm. And so there's a few things where they've really pushed the boat out and they've gotten out in front of a lot of companies. Google is one of them that they've gotten out in front of for voice assistants. But they're getting in the game now. And so they're going to be using the Google Assistant on their Google Home appliance. It's a high-quality speaker with a nice, attractive look that they hope looks at home in any room of the house.
In Australia?
Not yet. But it's not out in the States either.
But did we end up getting the router that Google developed?
We did not.
Are we going to get this, do you think?
I think we will get this because this is going to be Google's big push into the living room.
It'll be their race with Amazon because we don't have the Echo in Australia either.
No, we don't.
So
We don't have a lot of Amazon services in Australia.
No, it's true.
Not ready for release yet, but they showed a pretty neat video to show where they eventually want the technology to go. And so they had a family getting up and getting ready for school and work in the morning, and the Google Assistant, they were all talking to it, and it was understanding each of them and understanding the context of who this person is and what's on their schedule. For the day.
Let me make something very clear here, Jason. The video was all actors?
It was all fake. No, it wasn't a documentary. I did cover that. I said that it's where they want the technology to go.
I just wanted to make that point, ladies and gentlemen, that...
it's coming.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I've seen a lot of things that people have said are coming.
No, but I don't think there's anything wrong with someone at a developer conference saying this is where we want our technology to go.
I can remember back in the 1980s when I was working for a major insurance company in the city, and they introduced word processing to the organisation. And we had a word processing department. We would ring up and dictate our letters, and they said that we were going to be, this was the start of the paperless office.
Oh, look, every time someone says we're turning into a paperless society, I get 10 more forms to fill out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about some other stuff that Google did at I.O.
Yes.
Daydream.
What is Daydream?
Daydream is Google's new VR platform, also what Gary's doing right now. So Google's been moving into VR in a big way. We've had Cardboard for a couple of years.
I love Cardboard.
Cardboard has been really fun, but in the intervening
year...
It
doesn't
taste
very good, though, but you can get it.
You can put some salt on it. The restaurants don't want to serve cardboard, but sometimes they end up. Google has set up a VR division in the last year, which probably should have been a sign that there was a bigger foray into VR coming.
Yep.
And they've now revealed it as Daydream. So while Daydream was originally to Google a screen-saving feature in Android, that's now been removed in Android and is now just called Screensaver, Daydream now applies to a dedicated VR hardware spec, which Google's planning to build and release. There's a dedicated headset, there's a touch and motion-sensitive controller, and, of course, there's going to be an app ecosystem around it as well.
Okay,
let's break right there.
Sure.
Because this is an entirely appropriate time, having spoken about Daydream, to play a little bit of Mose Allison. And the track is Your Mind is on Vacation.
My mind is always on vacation.
In my face, I guess I'm gonna have to put you in your place. You know, if silence was golden, you couldn't raise it down. Because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime.
figures and dropping names. You're telling stories about the days. You're over laughing when things ain't funny. You're trying to sound like the big money. You know if talk was criminal, you would lead a life of crime. Because your man is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime.
Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ-FM, 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Jason is giving us all
the Google I.O.
about
rundown.
Google I.O. Yeah.
The lowdown.
The lowdown. The lowdown on the rundown.
On the rundown on the lowdown. Give us the countdown.
The ins and the outs.
I've actually got so many things. I'm gonna blast through a couple of things before I get to the things that I actually wanted to talk about in this segment. They've updated Android N, which has now moved from alpha to beta. They've announced a new version of their Wear operating system, which is sitting on my wrist at the moment. And they've also announced that Android Auto is going to not require a head unit, which Jeff and I were talking about earlier, and we're pretty up about that. There's also a new feature coming that allows you to use Android apps that are not installed on your phone directly from search results, and you'll be able to download Android apps from Google Play and use them on Chromebook devices soon.
That's a very interesting concept.
That is pretty cool.
Is that a good thing?
Yes. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
Everything new is old again, because that goes back to the days when you used to use dumb terminals and all the apps would run on a mainframe. How different is that from that concept?
Seems about right. What I want to talk about, though, is Google's Advanced Technology and Projects Division, which we call ATAP for short. They brought three really interesting things to Google I.O. Now, these guys have been kind of rock stars for the last few years at Google I.O. They come in, they show something that's kind of conceptual, but, you know, a pretty amazing idea. And then they sort of go away for a year and some stuff happens and things get delayed and whatever. So their most famous thing is Project Ara. It's a modular smartphone that's designed to be super cheap and allow you to add modules and... you can clip things on and take things off if you don't want Bluetooth for the day. You could replace that with an e-ink display that shows the weather, for example.
Yeah.
So it's way more functional than it's ever been. They've updated it to run a newer version of Android because they've been stuck on a very old version for a while because of the way they load and unload their modules. And so the news for Project Ara is that there's a developer edition coming later this year. And there's going to be a consumer release in 2017.
Jeez, that's pretty good.
So they want that base model phone to be really, really cheap, but almost featureless. So you'll pay for the additional features.
I love the idea that you could buy a phone that's kind of got no features, very cheap. Yeah. And then if you want a better camera, buy the camera, clip it on.
I actually like that because let's go back to what we were saying 5 minutes ago about applications and operating systems being intrusive with something that is essentially featureless and is just a basic operating system, and you choose the ops, you choose the level of intrusiveness that you want rather than having it imposed upon you.
So the other thing that they announced this last year, and they didn't really have any hardware for it, but this year they've got hardware. There's an advancement called Project Soli, and it's basically a tiny little radar that you can put in your watch. And it will detect with very, like, stunning accuracy gestures that you perform in front of it.
That freaks me out. That's amazing.
So you can use a little radar in your watch to, like, you could twist a dial or swipe in front of the watch, and the watch would be able to react to you. They're also looking at putting it into Bluetooth speakers as a control method.
And also into the door of the office of your boss.
That would be cool.
Okay.
Is it using traditional camera technology, or is it an actual...
It's a radar.
Radar.
Like, it's a radar.
Because I remember when, you know, hey, you can do things with your watch, you know, cover it and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was features which Samsung had on their phones where you used to be able to wave in front of it and scroll.
Yeah, so
they're
using
tracking,
the camera.
But that was using the camera. Yeah. So this is totally new technology.
This is a radar. Yeah,
it's literally... Well, it's not new technology. This is using the technology that we have in our cars, for instance, because our cars are using radar technology to sense... when something is close to the rear bumper or the front bumper bar for your parking sensors, or for the sensors in your rearview mirrors.
That's cool.
That's all radar technology as well. This is just an expansion of that, really, isn't it?
Yeah. One last thing, very quickly, that they showed off is a device, a project called Project Jacquard. Now, Jacquard is French for jacket, and they spoke about this last year, and they've brought it to life this year in a partnership with Levi. And so they've created a jacket called the Commuter, which is aimed at cyclists who, at least cyclists who wear, who might wear a jacket while they're commuting, which I don't. The wearer interacts with a sensor in the cuff of the jacket that allows them to control music, access maps, and control incoming calls.
Interesting.
And so the tag is connected via USB, it's interchangeable, and it's washable. And so this goes into beta this year, and it's also expected to see a consumer release next year.
A jacket.
That's very interesting stuff, isn't it?
It is, ATAP does this stuff. Like, they get out there and they're like, okay, let's reimagine this stuff.
Yeah. It is very much bleeding edge.
Very much, yeah.
Okay. This is The Seekers. I'll Never Find Another You.
Oh. I'm right here.
And I'm avoiding Kiwi jokes.
Back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Jason, you have something useless to talk about.
I do have something useless to talk about.
It's not me either.
No, it's called Box. It's BOX, Bottle Opener X. It's the world's first and hopefully last smart bottle opener that can send your mates a message when you crack open a bottle of whiskey or wine.
I have a serious problem with the concept of a smart bottle opener.
Oh, you say this every time someone says smart.
That is very true. But how smart do you have to be to open a bottle?
Can we go back?
I've been defeated by a bottle opener. Go on.
What does it do?
It will contact your friends when you open a beer.
I love that. Come on, that is a stocking filler for Christmas.
That's precisely the useless gadget.
But it's not useless. You've bought one, you've pleased somebody on Christmas Day.
Excuse me.
That's actually what most of our useless gadgets are for.
It's fantastic.
Excuse me, Jeff, but do you want to know every time I open it? Well, for me it's useless because I don't drink beer all that much.
I like beer.
For me, it's useless because I drink champagne and...
I love it.
You open champagne by pulling the cork out of the bottle.
So I'll just point out, this is a Kickstarter project.
Back it all the way to town.
Also, it's not actually fully backed yet, but it's got 29 days to go, and it only needs 5,000 more francs. It is, of course,
Swiss.
Swiss, yeah.
So that's why it looks like an army knife.
So how much beer do the Swiss drink? Come on, give me a break.
Yeah, they can't make good beer.
You have been listening to the Gadget Grill, everyone. I'm just going to bring the show to a close.
Go for it.
All yours.
I am Jason Murray.
Good for you.
I don't have this commanding presence that Gary does. I just motioned to Jeff, and Jeff's like, nah, you can't.
Whatever.
Have
that. Whatever, Jason.
Nah.
Good for you, buddy.
Yeah. I am Jason. The guy laughing in the corner is
Jeff Bertramani.
Nah, your moment's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah. Good night.
You might be someone. You could be anyone.
Yeah, I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz. And as Jason said, this has been the Gadget Grill. Exactly.
He's only doing that because I'm disappearing for 2 weeks.
Yeah. You what?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for telling me on the air.
I know.
He told you earlier.
I thought I'd do that.
I wasn't listening to him.
I know. Obviously.
It's much more forced when we're on the air.
And that's the perfect segue. We're listening to Stefan Grappelli, who we were talking about earlier, along with Don Byrows and George Goller. This is Don't Get Around Much Anymore.
I do.
Take care. You do indeed.
Sicko. Thank you.